Well, I thought he was with me. Anyway, we are Dennis and Tawana Johnson, and I think he's going to come here, but because we only have 5 minutes, I need to get started. So we are going to Mexico. We are going to León, Mexico, which is in the heart of Mexico. And excuse me, sir.
Snag on the pulpit. Snag on.
Sir.
Oh.
We're in the middle of a service. I'm trying to tell them about Mexico.
Well, I was just following orders here. I got some orders from a President Carter. Jimmy, I suppose. I don't know.
No. That's Doug
Carter. Oh, Doug Carter. He said there's a problem with the pulpit. He said it has a little snag on the back and that it keeps snagging a Reverend Roy Lafter's necktie.
No, that's Lauder. Lauder.
Roy Lafter, yeah.
Lauder.
And so I was sent here to take care of that. You know, Melvin is overloaded with work, and he can't get everything done. So the Pete brothers, you know, they asked me to come. Look, they even gave me a hat. See this? I got a hat from the Pete brothers, yeah. They asked me to come and kind of fix this so that it wouldn't snag Reverend Lafter's ties.
Lauder.
Oh, Lauder. Lauder. Oh, excuse me.
Okay. But the thing is, we're in the middle of a service. Couldn't you have done this before or after? We're here to talk about Mexico, not about fixing the pulpit.
Mexico?
Yeah.
Who in their right mind would want to go to Mexico? You nuts or something?
Well, why would you say that?
Well, all you hear is they're killing people on the streets and.
Well, I think you're a little no. There is danger there, and we are called to go to Mexico, and when God puts a call on our life, He takes us there. He is with us everywhere we go, no matter where we are. And so I feel like, you know, we are safe. That doesn't mean nothing will happen to us, but it does mean that He's with us.
Well, but I've also heard on that Christian news network, CNN, I think it is.
No. CBN.
Oh, CBN. See, well, I've heard it at different times that Mexico has already been evangelized, so why in the world would you go to Mexico?
Well, there may be parts of Mexico that have been evangelized, but we're going to the Bajío, which is in the heart of Mexico, and we understand that there is, in the city that we're going to be in, the city of León, Mexico, there is like 2 million people, and less than 1% are evangelical Christians.
Wow. Oh, that sounds like they probably need someone young and vigorous to go, and I don't, you know, you don't look like spring chicken in your...
I beg your pardon?
Your husband looks even a lot older. I don't know. Are you sure this is something you ought to be doing?
Well, you know what? They are looking for people that are have more experience. And we have plenty of that. We've been in Bolivia for several years, and then we were in the home office for several years. But now we're headed to Mexico. And what they're looking for is for people that are going to provide leadership training, that they will also work with the couples and do marriage retreats and do some of those kind of things that take a little bit more age, you know, experience. So...
Well,
we don't have a foot in the grave yet.
Oh, that does sound pretty exciting. It must be nice to have that, what is it, World Global Mission or something?
No. World Gospel Mission.
World Gospel Mission, yes. That they pay your way and send you down there, all expenses paid, and you can go down there and work in Mexico. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it would be nice if that was the way it was, but that's not the way it is.
Oh, it isn't?
No, in fact... that's what we're doing here at this. That's why I'm trying to tell them about Mexico, because this is part of what we do, is we have to raise our support in order to get there. And to get there, we're going to need still $3,500 in monthly support. And we need prayer partners, because we can't do it alone. We go there with other people. And so that's through monthly support and also through prayer.
Wow. Is there really anybody in this world that would give monthly support?
Oh, yeah. There are many that will give monthly support because they're following what the Lord tells them. In fact, my husband, when he was still in college, he was listening in at a meeting, and the Lord laid on his heart to take monthly support in a missionary going to Africa.
He must be a swell guy.
Oh, he is. He's very swell. So monthly support can be any amount. It doesn't have to be a big amount. Even these young people could take a $5 share and help out in missionaries.
Wow, that's getting pretty exciting. So when you plan on going to Mexico?
We hope to be there in January, Lord willing, and we have all our support.
January, you know, that'd be pretty nice, January in Mexico. Yeah, the weather's probably pretty nice there. Maybe I can get some of these Pete brothers to join me. We could go down there and visit you or something during that time. What do you think?
Well, I think it would be wonderful because we are also looking for people to go. We're wanting to have a prayer team come down because, like I said, this is an area in which the enemy has had a hold for too long, and we need to have a prayer team come down there and help us pray and to be with, to lift all the prayer requests of our fellow workers that are going to be there in Bolivia. I mean, we were in Bolivia, in Mexico with us, and so we're just excited about that. So if you would like to come on a prayer team, you do know how to pray.
Yeah, I can probably.
Okay.
Do.
If you would like to come on a prayer team, if you would like to take support in us, or if you would like to be another way of being part of our team, we'd be glad to have you. In fact, I may could find some jobs that you could fix at our house.
So that's in Leon, Mexico, huh?
No, in León.
Oh, León, Mexico.
Mexico, right. Well, that's 10 hours from the border, so.
Well, may God bless you.
But you can fly in there, too.
Oh.
So.
All right.
On the streets of Kampala. He had come to Kampala like so many other people from Western Uganda, expecting that he would come to Kampala and get rich. But very shortly after he arrived in Kampala, he realized he wasn't going to get rich. And so he bought himself a little phone and sat beside the road and began to sell airtime to people as they came by so that they could make calls to the other parts of Uganda or even to America or somewhere else. And he was just barely eking out a living. And with the little that he was making, he was drinking most of the profit. He was too embarrassed to go back home and be ridiculed for being a failure, so he just tried his best to continue living in Kampala. As we went out to do evangelism with our pastors in training, we saw Nazarius. As we passed by his little place where he was having his phone, we asked him, "Can we share some good news with you?" And he said, "Oh, I would love to hear some good news. It's been so long since I've heard some good news." And we began to share with him about Jesus Christ and how Jesus had died for him and how Jesus had died to set him free of his sin. And even as we were talking with him, you could just see him sobering up. And at the time that it came to the end of our time of talking with him, we asked, "Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes, I would love to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." Right there on the streets of Kampala, he prayed to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now that day we'd gone a little bit farther out to do evangelism. We always take our pastors and do evangelism with them so that they know how to do evangelism. But we'd gone a little bit farther because the area had become saturated. And so we said, "What are we going to do with Nazarius?" And we tried to find a church to put him in, but it just different circumstances, it didn't work. So eventually we did what we know we shouldn't have done, or at least we didn't think we should do it. We went ahead and invited him to come into pastoral training. Now, I know the Bible, and the Bible says that babes should not be pastors. We did not invite him to come into the training to be a pastor. But we invited him into the training because our pastoral training is really intensive discipleship. And so we wanted to disciple him and help him to come to know Christ in a much deeper way. About a year after he'd been in the training, he came to me and he said, "Do you think I could ever be a pastor?" And I said, "Yes. Is God calling you?" He said, "God has put a burden on my heart." I said, "Where is God calling you to go?" He said, "Oh, back to my own people in Western Uganda." During this last year, he'd already gone back and led his wife to the Lord and his children to the Lord. But he knew that God was calling him to go back and to minister with his own people. But you see, the area where God was calling him to go minister was not an easy area to go minister to. In 1999, we had a cult operating in that area. They called themselves a church. They told everybody that the last day of 99, Jesus would come on the first day of 2000. They gathered in their church and they waited for Jesus. And when Jesus did not come on the first day of 2000, they locked the doors and they set the church on fire. And over 1,000 people died that day. And that was the place where Nazarius was going back to share about Jesus Christ. The people ridiculed him. They didn't want to listen to him. They said, no, we've seen what the church does. But he kept on telling them, that was not the church. The Jesus that I serve loves you, and he would never do anything like that. And they continue to say, just get out of here. Aren't you just a drunkard from Kampala? We don't want to hear anything. You don't have anything to say. But he continued to share Jesus with them and continued to love them, even when they ridiculed him and despised him and mistreated him. Today we have three churches in that area because Nazarius continued to show the love of Jesus. Isn't it amazing? A drunkard on the streets of Kampala found Jesus Christ. It changed his life for eternity, and it's changed his community for eternity. They're planning to even plant five churches this year. Well, they've already planted five preaching points, and they hope to officially make them churches this year. That is what we are all about in Uganda, training men and women, equipping them to reach their own people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has blessed us as we have trained them. Lisa and I have not planted any of these churches, but we have seen the church grow from one church to nearly 200 churches as these people, just like Nazarius, have gone out to their own people and taken the gospel to them and reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wish this evening that we had time to talk about the university that I shared about this morning, about students that come from 11 different African countries, how God took a student group that met in a dormitory room with just a handful of students and now reaches over 1,000 students every week. God is moving in that. I wish that I had time this morning, this evening, just to even talk more about Lisa and the ministry she has at Heritage International School. The exciting thing that we saw last year at the end of school was not the passing out of diplomas on graduation day, but was the fact that 14 students were baptized on that day. And lives have been changed for eternity because of people like you. What has happened in Uganda is not because of us, but it is because of many people being obedient to the call of God. Even people who have never seen Nazarius, even people who have never seen the university ministry, but they've been obedient and they've been a part of what God is doing in Uganda. This is the harvest time in Uganda. God is moving and the time is now. We need about $200 in monthly support to return to the field and about $5,000 in cash. We've already bought tickets for August the 6th, believing by faith that God is going to provide. This is the time for the harvest in Uganda.